What's up, dudes? Welcome back to episode 2.5. It's MRags, and we got Bonzer here. Before we get into the show, I just want to say a quick message. If you guys are able to subscribe to the podcast, download the episodes, leave a five-star review, that would help out our channel very, very much. The support we've received so far is absolutely insane on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, even on the reviews, and we sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. Now, this scandal broke out very fast overnight, and we saw a hero go to a villain in the eyes of the public very, very fast. Before I actually get into the scandal, I'm going to give a quick intro into the College Gaming Championship. We also have a special guest, Ebates, who was the MVP of the tournament, ended up coming in second place as he was Grand Canyon University's best player and undoubtedly the most skilled player in the tournament. The College Gaming Championship featured 64 schools and universities across the U.S., and we even had one up in Canada. It started pretty much that Barstool has their Viceroy accounts. The Viceroy account managers assigned three people, whether it was their friends through a legit tryout, whether it was themselves and two other players, the opportunity to play in this Warzone Kill Race tournament. So it was 7 full weeks, 6 rounds, and once we hit the sweaty 16, it came down to bracket play. And just for those of you who aren't familiar with kill races, it works as follows. You have 3 hours to drop into Verdansk. Every kill your team gets is 1 point, and placement is as follows. A win is 25 points, second place, 20 points, third place, 15 points, fourth place, 10 points, top 7 is 7 points, top 10 is 4 points, top 15 is 2 points, and top 20th place is 1 point. So placement is massive in these tournaments, and what happens with a lot of good slaying teams is they'll get a ton of kills, but end up placing 8th. And then their score simply becomes like a 40, a 45, nothing that is really eye-popping on the scoreboard. And a key to this, which we'll bring in Bonds in to talk about in just a second, is getting easier lobbies to essentially give you easier kills and easier placements, right? That's not rocket science. So you take your best three games across these 3 hours, add up that score, and that is representative of your score. On Wednesday, which was 2 days ago, it's crazy. It actually feels like it's even longer now. There's been so much, right? It's unbelievable. There's been so much that has happened since then. We had Grand Canyon University face off against the MOP, the infamous MOP from Montana State. A little bit of drama went down. And just in general with kill races, there are a lot of things that are not allowed, whether it's in the rules, whether it's not in the rules, but there's almost like an understanding of what you can do and what you can't do. And to be completely frank, like most of it is black and white. I don't personally think every single rule needs to be spelled out for people not to exploit the rules. But without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to our good friend Bonzer, who's a veteran in these things. And I'm just going to let you take it over here, kid.
Yeah. So I've done maybe, 50 to 60 kill race tournaments, and the number of ways to cheat, it seems like it keeps increasing week over week. In particular, the case we saw with Montana State is they were purposely tanking their KD. Modern Warfare has a feature known as SBMM, skill-based matchmaking. And what that does is it puts you in lobbies that are equal or better than, your players on your team. So if you, 10 to 15 games before tournament time, you and your team go in lobbies, commit suicide, you don't pull your parachute, you get 0 kills, no damage. You're essentially tricking the AI into thinking you're a bad player. Come tourney time, you're going to get some bad lobbies for, the first 3 or 4 games until you're back on par to, what you normally perform at. Some of the other ways I've seen people cheat is, anti-recoil strike packs on controllers. Mm-hmm. There's even a Cronus software, it's known as, that you plug into your controller and get essentially aimbot, reduced recoil. Mm-hmm. There's also a newer one, which we'll get into in later podcasts, but there's a router out there that you can basically trick your router into thinking, you're location is in a different spot. So if you want to go into Hawaii servers, which is traditionally known as terrible SBMM in Hawaii, the player pool is a lot less skillful. Maybe that's because they have beaches and they're not nerds.
Like yeah, they do Amarex. Stuff during the day. They do stuff during the day.
They have sunlight. First of all, we have like 2 feet of snow here. So come shovel Hawaii. I dare you. But yeah, so the reverse boosting is a real thing. And again, it's purposely tanking your KD to get into easier lobbies.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the funny thing with all this timing is I think the day before the final, so on Tuesday, Nick Merckx was talking on stream about why his MFAM gauntlet no longer hosts these kill race tournaments. And he was throwing shade at people without actually dropping names, saying, you don't even know the half of it of what goes on, the tomfoolery in these kill race tournaments, whether it's positive stream snipers giving you kills, but disguising it like they're real players, whether it's like Bonzer said with the whole router thing and you're going to a different geolocation. So it shows that you're playing somewhere else. So you're even seeing like the biggest COD streamer not host these tournaments anymore for this simple fact, which is kind of crazy. And the timing worked out pretty ironically with the Barstool College Gaming Championship. It was kind of wild to see. And what we know that Montana State did is during the Electric Eight, the Fatal Four, and the Grand Finals, before each game, all three players would drop, just like Bonzer said, roughly 10 to 15 times, instant death, and move on from there. And as we saw in the Grand Finals, it paid off for them tenfold.
So yeah, they had their highest kill game in the entire tournament.
I want to say their highest kills to that point might have been 35, maybe 40. That first game they dropped in, they got 56 kills. So it was an 81-point game, and that really set the tone for the entire tournament.
So do you think a potential fix for this, you know, there's going to be no way to monitor all these different, you know, whether it's controller, reverse boosting, routers. Do you think a fix is, you know, more custom tournaments?
I mean, custom tournaments is absolutely one solution. I would say probably sometimes the easiest solution is just a 2v2 kill race style, right? But a lot of times that brings out much sweatier players because not every player can duo squad. So it's a lot harder to do. For those of you who are not familiar, another style of kill race tournaments are you and your duo. This is what Bonds and I do, right? We queue up with the people we're facing in a squads match. The goal is for Bonzer and I to drop more kills than the enemies we're playing with. But you're essentially going in and duo squatting. So that's a way because everyone's on the same server, you're on the same map, but custom matches are a great alternative. But we know that Warzone competitive custom matches might be fun to play because they're like very extreme. It's not great for the viewer, especially because COD casting is not in yet. So for example, say, you know, Smitty's playing and he's the host, right? Smitty dies to a team who's just kind of camping. Then we're just watching people camp for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
If it was a COD casting feature, I promise you they would have already ran tournaments already, but they're kind of waiting for those custom lobbies to become better. But it is a great solution. Reverse boosting though can be seen at any point, as long as you kind of take the manpower and take the time to look into it. Right. And some of the other stuff is a lot harder to detect. But, you know, Bonds, for someone like us who plays a lot, we can kind of detect when something isn't right in either a lobby or, you know, you can kind of just visually see it. And then maybe from there you look into it more. But it's been the one thing I will say about the mop, and Bonds, I want to hear your side of this as well. So it's very obvious where my stance is, right? I banned a cheater named Chili from my tournaments who did the same thing. He had his friend playing on an alt account, and then his other friend was tanking his KD before the tournament for like a $10 prize pool. Like it was really sad, right?
Who won that tournament, by the way?
It was you. You, Smitty, and Neonis won. Congratulations.
Oh yeah.
Is that weird? Did you know that? Or you just
I had no idea. I've won so many tournaments, Matt.
Oh yeah, so many.
We'll clip that squeak out.
No. We're gonna keep this.
No. I'll just start swearing so you know.
All right, listen, when I send it over to the intern to edit, we'll see what he keeps in and what he doesn't.
All right,
But so it's really obvious where my stance is, right? This didn't have to be written in the rules. First of all, I don't know how it was missing the rules again, but this did not have to be written in the rules for it to be understood like this is not what you do in a kill race tournament. And a lot of people are saying that, you know, it's not in the rules. He didn't cheat. Fair. I understand that. But morally, ethically, everyone who saw the recent games immediately was like, damn, that sucks. Because let's be honest, everyone loved the mop. I love the mop. I was a fan of the mop. I still am a fan of the mop. I think he's hilarious. His competitive integrity, though, for me is tarnished at this point. Bonds, where do you stand?
It's a really tough call. If I was in Ebates' shoes, I would definitely be upset. Ebates has played a number of kill race tournaments. He knows that reverse boosting is, I would say, one of the biggest, you know, the easiest ways to cheat before right. a kill race is to, you know, tank your KD. Also, it's one of the easier things to track. Right. Pod trackers are so easy to look at. So, I'm a part of me wants to, you know, give the benefit of the doubt to the mop. If he knew that this was cheating, he should also know that it's very easy to look up his previous game before the tournament. All their KD trackers are publicly available. The zeros really stick out. Maybe throw in a couple twos and threes in there, mop, you know, maybe a couple four or five kill games. Just all the zeros in a row. Part of me thinks he may not have really known that it was illegal, you know? And again, is it illegal or is it frowned upon? An example, you know, frowned upon. When you go into a grocery store, you have items in your cart. You can take other people's items out of their cart, put them into your cart. And that's legal. You didn't pay for anything until you pay for it. So,
Emrag,
I'm not going to answer that question, Matt, if I've done that or not. I don't think it's really, you know, part of this discussion. We're talking about Ebates, the mop. But so is it illegal? Is it frowned upon? I would lean towards the sides of illegal for sure. Yeah, it's a big advantage.
So Bonzer, black and white answer. Is this allowed in tournaments? Is what the mop did wrong?
It's not allowed in tournaments. And if I was a tournament director and I had to come down with a decision, I would say it's illegal. Second place gets the win. Mop DQ'd.
There you have it. And now on the podcast, we are joined by the MVP of the tournament, the legend Ebates. He's a mod for Super Evan. And if I'm being honest, one of the most dominant players that I've seen that is not publicly known on a scale of like thousands of viewers on Twitch. So we're here with Ebates to present his side. He's the leader of Grand Canyon University. I'm just going to hand it over to you, Ethan. First of all, thank you for joining us, man.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to talk about this, kind of go into depth of my overall experience of the tournament and my perspective of kind of how it all ended and just give some feedback on some things. So I'm excited to be here and thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And it must have been a roller coaster of emotions for you Wednesday into Thursday, because I know for me, Thursday was like one of the craziest days, especially either running a tournament or being on Twitch like that I've had in my life, because it was like looking into facts on phone calls. Is this right? Is this wrong? Like, what was it going on in your perspective from actually coming in second place, realizing what you realized, and then the punishment being justifiable or not? I kind of want to hear your thoughts there.
So starting with the tourney, I thought that as a team, we played really bad. We did not come to play. It was just a bad tourney day. And we just got absolutely destroyed. It was just, you know, I was like, okay with losing because they popped off. Montana State had a huge game. They were doing well. They kept the pressure on us. And I think our team eventually honestly felt it. Losing, even on stream, I was like, GG's guys, like we tried our best, like go congratulate Montana State. You know, I texted them, you guys are beasts, you celebrate, enjoy, you know, whatever. And then I found, you know, this DM late in my, like, it was like one of the requested like access right. in my DMs. And I opened it when I got in bed and, you know, some kid sent me some COD tracker scrolling through weeks of, you know, whatever. And it kind of like, it just really hurt. And I hated like seeing that because I was really happy for the Cinderella story that Montana State like kind of went through. Like they obviously don't play Call of Duty like on a competitive level, and they did it. They got it done. Like at the end of the day, I was like, wow, the team that had the most chemistry, that had the most fire, they got it done. And I was excited for that. And then when I, you know, saw these messages, I was super hurt. And I was like, this sucks. Like, this sucks. Like, now I'm mad. I lost. Like, I was pretty upset. Like, don't get me wrong. I hate losing, but now I'm pissed. And right. So that sucked. And then going into Thursday, I didn't really know how it was going to go down. To be quite honest, I didn't think anything was going to get done. I figured like what happened, and maybe it's just going to pass by. You know, I don't think there's going to be any benefit of this coming out right now because the tournament was so like new and, you know, they were still riding the horse and celebrating and stuff. So I really didn't think anything was going to go down. After talking to Smitty and UM Rags, I felt, you know, a little bit more like closure, I guess. I felt better about like kind of what happened, and I was happy with how it went down. Smitty, I thought Smitty handled it perfectly, mm-hmm. about as good as he could. It's a tough situation that was kind of put in place, and it just sucks. It's unfortunate. No one wanted it to end like that, but it's just how it went down.
And I think part of the worst part of it all was, if you really read the rules, it was not stated in the rules. And this is the only really benefit of the doubt we can give the MOP. But Ethan, I know you've played in tournaments before. I mean, this is, you know, give us like your examples. Like, what is this like?
So I understand it's not in the rules and I understand that, but what the perspective I'm coming from is Barstool's they haven't run enough gaming tournaments, right? To understand that this is like an unwritten rule, I guess, so to speak. And right. any other tournament, any other official tournament, you'd get banned, you'd get, you know, disqualified. You'd never get play on their website again or something. And this is even things that Call of Duty, if you do it in their public matches, they will ban your account permanently. I've seen this on Cold War already. I've seen it on, you know, Advanced Warfare, all these games. This is something that they take seriously. And so it wasn't in the rules. I get it. You know, they want to call it a smart play. It was a little bit scummy. It was cheating at its finest. And I believe that it just wasn't right. And I think they knew that, which is why they really didn't come out and talk about it. They would have been like, oh, we've been doing this thing, you know, right? If they really didn't know, they knew what they were doing. The other two kids on their team, not the mob, but the other two, they have 2.5 KDs and 2.1s. They're decent at the game. I'm sure they know better. Right. And so that's my perspective. Like, yes, it's not in the rule book, but there is an unwritten rule there. Like, you guys knew what you're doing, and there was definitely a competitive advantage that they were trying to take advantage of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you sent me, you know, the COD trackers from the Elite Eight, the Fatal Four, and the Grand Finals. And this was something that I was thinking of after you sent me the videos. Like, why did it work so well in the Grand Finals, right? Because we saw in the first couple matches in the Electric Eight or the Fatal Four, like, they were getting wins, but they didn't get a 56 kill win, which is 81 points, which is insane, right? Like, you start that game off, it's insane. And then I realized with the whole reset and update, it must have knocked them back so far in the skills-based matchmaking that that's why they were able that first game to get 81 points. And Smitty called it out right on stream. Like, the second they got it and we saw the kills, Smitty was like, this something's like, what is going on here? Which is actually wild. And, you know, I was just under the point of view of I thought they just had their best game. And then when you actually looked into it a little deeper, it was like, oh, shit.
So yeah. their best game kill wise going in, Matt, you had told me that it was 30 or something, 33.
Roughly, I want to say they probably got a 35 to 40 kill win. I want to say probably closer to 40, but nothing near like a 56. Like, we would expect the 56s from Grand Canyon, from Notre Dame, Arizona State, maybe Illinois back when they were in. But coming from Montana State, I was like, holy shit. You know what I mean?
I watched that first game, and, you know, I think Mop had 16 kills.
Yeah.
Which... and I saw the people he was killing, and me being how I am, I was thinking, if I was in this lobby, I promise you I have 40 kills. I screenshot it to Twitter. I call my mom. I let her know, mom, we made it. We're coming out of the hood. So it just, you could tell something was up. And again, I didn't know their KDs. I know Mop's a lower KD. I thought the other two were lower as well, but 2.5, 2.1, the lobby should never be that easy.
Right.
You know, never. So something was going on.
And Ebates, did you watch back their first game? Like, did you watch back any of their games?
I think I turned on the first game for a little bit and I saw you guys were like casually just kind of commentating, just trying to introduce the tourney, right? Because you didn't expect a big game. At the end of the tourney, when I saw the 56 kills, I was like, there's no way. And even like, so I had the same reaction as Smitty, I think. I was in the tournament. I'm playing. I think we just like finished a game. We, you know, whatever. And the guy from Lopes Barstool came into the Discord and he's like, hey guys, Montana State just dropped 56 kill or 81 point game or 20, you know? And I was like, you're funny, dude. Like, and then another kid from GCU's team came in and he's like, yo guys, they just dropped 81 points. And I'm like, wait, like you guys are being serious. And he's like, I'm serious. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I literally said the same thing as Smitty. I was like, that doesn't make sense.
I'm yeah, like, I mean, that's a lot. So you guys kind of knew game by game how the other team was doing while you were playing.
Yeah, I never had like streams up. I would just if we needed an update, I'd be like, hey Evan, like what's the update on the score?
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's good to know. It is, you know, it's definitely good to know what your opponent's doing. So you could play conservative if they're playing terrible and you just want to get that 25 for a win,
right,
a few kills along the way. But if knowing they got 81, what were your thoughts? Like, hey, we got to frag out.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think I'm comfortable in that. It really put my teammates in a weird spot. They started playing really scared. And honestly, that was the snowball effect that really hurt us because yeah. I couldn't go solo off, usually what we do, we land Superstore, we team wipe, hopefully we keep our gulags, we grab a bounty and a loadout, we push the bounty, and then from there we split. I go solo, they go two. And from that point on, they didn't want to split because they're like, we need to stay together. Like we're doing good.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep going. And so that really slows things down and it puts me in a weird spot and them, because then now they're like, we need to like play tight and like really, and it just definitely hurts the momentum of things. But for me, I thought I was comfortable with it. I was like, guys, like we just got to fry now. Like this is
great. That's how you got there.
Yeah.
Is that with that strategy, how you got there is you separating, get some money, get a bounty. And that is the right play to do in a kill race. Have your best player in a trio separate. Sometimes even all three separate. As long as you guys have money, you got the gulag, you know, it's basically what you should do.
Right. That's the point of pushing the bounty off rip too, because you get the bounty money and then that bonus contract extends. So I tell, you know, my teammates, buy UAV, grab the next bounty, and then I'll push the next bounty. It just snowball effect, momentum, man.
Yeah.
It definitely hurt us. Like, and that's why I was okay with losing at first. I was like, dang, like we did not play our game today. Like we got absolutely smoked. And like, we still dropped 156 kills, but I feel like in any other week besides the semifinals would have beat Montana State, which is crazy because we had a really bad day. But I was like, dang, they got it done. And
I was literally just going to bring that up as well. Like your worst week, if you want to call it that, with this team, right? I know you guys made some adjustments early on. With this team, you guys still dropped close to 160, which was the week prior. I think Montana State dropped like 164, which was their highest to that point. Mm-hmm. So for them to come out of the gates and drop 179 was like – mind-blowing for me. Like, you know, you look at a bell curve and that's like at the way far side of it, but it is interesting going into the grand finals. Were you nervous, especially with the update? I saw you using the MAC-10 as well. Yeah. That gun's a beam, right? That gun is
it's disgusting.
How is it at range? Is it better than the MP5, like mid-range, you know how it
has a little there's range? Absolutely no recoil on it right now, at least with the I think the patrol grip is what I put on it in the front. There's no recoil. The only issue I'm having, I guess, is maybe the reload speed, because for Cold War guns, if you shoot to zero, you have to like put in the clip and then like cock it back.
Yep.
But if it's at like one or above one, you just put in the clip. So I'm trying to reload before I'm getting to zero. And that's like something I guess I'm just kind of working on.
I usually do. My thing is when I get a kill, I automatically reload. I don't know why I do it. Sometimes it gets me killed, but the guns in Cold War definitely take a little longer to
go back to kind of what you're saying, MRags, about how they dropped their biggest game in the semis and then their biggest game in the finals. So they were doing this, I don't know how many weeks. I checked at least until the Elite Eight. They were doing this every week, and it seemed like progressively more and more each week they were playing more games and dying. I mean, over those 4 weeks that I looked at, they spent like 12 hours doing this, like dropping That's into wild. Games, dying, dropping into games, dying, and like That's a lot of time. Like, obviously, like, and if anyone understands the skill-based matchmaking in this thing, it's you know, one game. Oh, you lost? Here.
And they were off stream, of course, doing this.
Yep. Yeah, off stream. I mean,
one would assume you dive in, you don't pull your parachute, you break your ankles, you die in gulag. That's 0-2, next game.
Right.
And you're tricking the AI in Warzone to place you into lower skill lobbies.
Yeah,
so that's a huge... Yeah,
there's an algorithm. They totally took advantage of it. And
I wish that the devs came out and told us what's in this algorithm. Is it score? Is it kills? Is it KD ratio? Is it last 10 game performance? You know,
but Bonds, the pushback on you a little bit there. If people knew what it took, I would argue that this would get even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's or, so weird, yeah. Right. Isn't it such a weird scenario where, and I've said this before, I do think skills-based matchmaking does belong in video games. Us three get the tail end of it where it's like, we're playing sweatier games, right? It stinks for us, but like, let's be honest. I don't think we should be in the same lobby as someone who just bought a PS4 for the first time in their life and has never played a shooter, right?
Agreed.
That's the easiest way to just push people out of games. It's not, I don't want it, but I understand it, and that's the way it's going to be going forward. It just stinks when you're trying to run tournaments that this is something that's always going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. To push back on that,
go ahead.
I think SBMM, the reason this frustration is, there's no ranking in Warzone So what are we playing for? If I'm dropping casually with some friends, I'm in sweaty games, there's no ranking system. So it's like, put a different mode out for like a competitive type playlist for sweatier people.
Yeah.
If I just want to have a casual game and, you know, get 10 to 12 kills, whatever, I should be able to drop in into a casual game with a random player pool and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand on the other side, if, you know, a 35-year-old dad picking up a PS4 is going to run into Bonzer with his MP5 bunny hopping around the corners. So.
Dripping sweat.
Yeah.
It's funny. Cause that's how I kind of explained to my dad. I was like, he's like, well, what does this mean? Right. Cause I was like, kind of telling him like, well, there's like this scandal going on, whatever, dad. And he's like, I'm like, basically, so I'm at my PC. I'm, you know, I got my Astro A40 headsets on. I'm locked in. I have like this nice ass system. And then the people I'd be playing against would be like college students sitting back on their couch away from their 50-inch TV, just kind of like casual. I mean,
from across the room.
Yeah. Right. And like with like setups, I feel like that kind of also like bases how good of your skill is and stuff. But I did want to talk about a little bit. We were talking about like MRAG's brought up the competitive scene about it. And this is something that Warzone is in a really weird position in right now, because they don't really know like what, no one knows what the competitive scene is going to be like, right? I mean, we got customs for Twitch Rivals, we have kill races for all these. And the truth is, like, kill races have never been like any bit of like credible. I mean, there's always something and someone who's going to come in and try a competitive advantage. I mean, there's these, you know, servers and then there's hacking. And then it's like all these different little layers of just like cheating, like competitive reverse boosting. Right. That's another one. I mean, it's just kill races are tough. And the problem is it's never going to get resolved. I mean, this is something that's just going to keep going on, especially for kill races. So the next step is to figure out what Call of Duty and what Warzone can do in order to find that competitive advantage or that competitive, like tourney scene, because even
Rags and I were talking about, so what would you think would be the next step? Does Warzone switch to 2v2 tournaments, which has less RNG? You're in the same lobbies, you know, same map. There's still RNG. There always will be. So you have the 2v2 kill race style, or you have custom lobbies, which I know you and I were in Twitch Rivals, and that was some of the more boring gameplay I've ever had.
Yeah. So
I don't know what the future is, but what do you think would be the future?
I love the customs layout. The problem I have with it is it's very difficult to kind of like put it in a competitive scene, because let's say I go against, I see MRAGs in downtown, right? This is a 50-50 fight. I mean, you know, it's going to go either way. And that 50-50 fight can determine the rest of that game. Like it sucks, because someone's always going to have, you know, the high ground. Someone's always going to have, and there's no real way of rotating. Like Fortnite, that's the great thing about Fortnite. There's building. You can protect yourself getting from one place to another. Warzone, it's like you're gliding. You're dead.
Yeah.
If you didn't get zoned, you're dusted. You're done.
Oh, 100%.
That's the hard thing about customs. The 2v2 thing has been the most successful thing so far, I think, in my opinion, because like Huskers threw a $300,000 2v2 tournament that, shout out Super Evan, actually ended up winning with Biffle. And but that was hype. Like there's, you know, long matches, it's an extended tourney and people are constantly involved. It's intense. It's not just like, oh, kill race, oh, we died off rip, all right, back out, you know. It's like, and it's also slow pace. I think people like the intense high pace, like
you're playing off pressure. An opponent too,
right? Like you, I didn't feel
what your opponents,
I didn't feel real pressure until I dropped into that last game for the Barstool tourney. I was like, this is it. So I mean, and I wish that Warzone would figure out how to have that kind of like pressure all the time. The customs were cool for Twitch Rivals, but I just don't think it's going to work. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of factors to it. And yeah, I mean, you can, any gunfight is, it's a one-on-one 50-50 pretty much, in my opinion.
Yeah, right. And then it simply all comes down to positioning, because if you have a kilo in your hands, right, almost anyone can shoot straight. Like, let's be honest here. It's not much recoil there. I know you're an AMAX guy, which I respect a lot. You got a laser beam with that thing. And it kills faster for the skilled players. Like, the AMAX, not the AMAX that I call it, the AMAX kills faster. And that's kind of like the loadout going forward. Do you think, though, going forward, we're going to see AMAX MAC 10 over the Doof Doof, or is the Doof Doof up close still it, but the MAC 10 gives you that versatility?
So this is something I talked to a couple buddies after the tournament, after the Barcelona tournament. I tried the Doof Doof in the middle of the tournament because I felt that I was like, I'm going to go try and solo. And I have a feeling they silent nerfed it. I think this is something they did and they didn't tell people, because there were many times I thought I should have one pump people and I didn't. I would, you know, shoot someone, I turn and I'm like, oh, they're dead. And then I turn around, like, wait, they're not dead. Mm-hmm. And this caught me a couple times. I have a feeling they nerfed the Doof Doof and they didn't tell anyone about it for some reason. Moving forward, I think the MAC 10 MP5, hopefully we go back to the submachine gun meta, because that's just the way the game needs to be played. The shotguns are terrible and
terrible,
toxic, and it just ruins the game. As far as ARs, people have been talking about the AUG. I think all the Cold War ARs are garbage. I think the only really viable gun is the MAC 10. And in my opinion, I think the AMAX is the best gun in the game as far as ARs. And we'll see what happens next. I don't really know if it's going to get nerfed or anything, but if it's not the AMAX, it's definitely the Kilo. I mean, Kilo, it's going to be a MAC 10 running with a Kilo or AMAX.
Yeah, I respect
that. If one of those two guns, Kilo or AMAX, gets a nerf, the other one is definitely the meta for sure.
Yeah.
Kilo has been the meta for months now.
Yeah.
So accurate. You know, you can shoot at range. That's my one knock with the AMAX, is the longer range shots. It bounces a little more. It definitely takes some skill to control. Mm-hmm. But if you're able to hit your shots, the time to kill is quicker than the Kilo.
100%.
And we want to thank Ebates for coming on this episode. Also, Ebates, you hit 100 subs last night on Twitch. Congratulations. Anyone who wants to see Ebates, he's either Twitch stream or his Twitter. Do you have any other social media accounts?
No, not really. Not for gaming, at least. Just personals.
I mean, you had the best list, and you had the best player card in the game, in my opinion. Maybe if you want that Instagram to get bumping again, we'll see. But guys, make sure you check out Ebates' Twitch and also his Twitter. Ebates, do you want to close with anything, say any last remarks, anything like that?
I will say I'm not going to let the Montana State team kind of go away with this. I know, like, we're trying to, like, you know, just kind of get by it. Like, they said what they said. I didn't really hear, like, a real apology. At the end of the day, they knew what they were doing. They cheated in this tournament. They thought they were gone. They almost got away with it. Honestly, like, this could have gone, like, if this one person from Illinois State, I forgot his name, but if he didn't DM me, this would have never gotten caught. I mean, I wouldn't have cared to check, you know, COD Tracker or whatever. I mean, so just, I don't know. I hope Warzone's in a better place moving forward. I hope there's, you know, a little bit more competitive integrity in some things. And understandably, you know, they're college students. Like, they're not gamers, like, you know, like myself or like something I've done. You know, I worked for game battles at MLG for a couple of years, and so I've had
battles. Wow.
First experience like working with, you know, like trying to figure out keyboarding and all these cheaters and this stuff like Nick Merckx talks about it all the time. It's just going to keep happening, it's going to keep coming, and I personally just need to try my best to just, you know, stay away from that kind of stuff. It's easy to get drawn into, like, yep, you know, with like all these like new routers and stuff, like broken hosts and like, oh, like, yeah, like, let's go drop a 40 bomb or something real quick, you know, like in a public match. And it's just like, it's easy to hop on the train, but for me, I'm like, I need to do my due diligence and staying off of like these kind of things and just really staying true to the game and making sure that I'm not taking advantage of anything, because I don't want to be a part of the problem.
Bam. Also, congratulations on graduating in tomorrow.
Thank you. Yeah, graduation's tomorrow. So
what did you major in?
Business marketing.
Business marketing. Yeah.
The plan right now is I live in California right now with my family. I'm trying to get out of here. We're, you know, California's still on lockdown. It's really bad out here. And I think I'm moving out to North Carolina starting February. So
nice, man. Nice.
That'll be a nice little, like, a new start. And hopefully I can just pursue streaming and whatever kind of job afterwards to just keep trying to grow.
Yeah, that's the one positive I will say with COVID is everyone's home. If you want to pursue something online, there was no better time than the last, you know, 9-10 months to do so. Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's why I'm here, especially.
That's why I'm here.
That's maybe why you guys are here as well. So yeah, keep going for that. And if not, you got a bachelor's degree, maybe go for a master's, get a job, you know. Yeah. I think you're doing the right thing.
I do want to say I'm grateful for this tournament. Like, this has gotten me through college, to be honest. Like, I'm at home. I've got my 94-year-old grandpa with me. I don't go out. Like, I don't leave the house really. I used to, like, you know, surf all the time, but, and like, I just don't anymore because you know, COVID's going up. If I came back with something and I gave this to my grandpa, right. like, that is just going to kill me. And it's going to hurt my family. So for me, this tournament was huge. And to come down to, you know, a final verdict of like some kind of, you know, sketchy accusations or whatever, it just sucks. It does suck. I wanted to win this. And obviously it just, you know, it is what it is, but I feel comfortable with kind of what happened. And I'm happy that we were able to take away whatever we could from the tournament. And so I'm thankful for Barstool. I'm thankful for Smitty, MRAG, Sponsor. Thank you guys for, you know, I met you guys. You guys are great people. And, you know, like these are relationships that we established over this, and I'm grateful for it.
Hell yeah. And honestly, next time you're not going to be us in a 2v2 wager. I can tell you that much.
I wasn't even trying.
I was playing with my feet.
Yeah, I think I had a migraine that game.
That wasn't even Bonzer.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, that could be something last night. I was like, oh no, this got out.
Ebates, again, thank you for joining us on the podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Please leave a 5-star review, and we'll catch you guys in the next one.
Appreciate you guys.